Hello, and welcome to the Dark Cryptids podcast. Yeah, I'm not dead. Took me a little 2-month hiatus here. I just been kind of busy. Haven't really had the time nor the energy to do another episode, unfortunately, but been off of work for a little bit, relaxed, and sat down and decided, hey, maybe it's time to make another episode. Now, this episode is going to be kind of low energy and a little bit of ranting, to be honest. It's still going to have a creepy story in it. This one's actually going to be some personal experiences I've had. Now, not necessarily personal in the sense of I've experienced everything that I'm going to say in this episode, but I've talked to someone who has a story or heard things, mostly stuff that does more or less affect me directly. So I think this will be a pretty good episode for me to just kind of sit here and hang out and just talk. So to kind of give a little background on what I've been up to, because I know some of you are burning with questions on why I took my little 2-month hiatus. Excuse me, by the way, if you hear bits of silence, it's probably me hitting my vape. So, since December, I've been working at Amazon, and I quit sometime in February, and that's part of the reason why I haven't posted an episode in a while. Amazon, I know it's a great choice for other people, but it definitely wasn't the right choice for me. Standing on my feet for 10 hours and doing the same repetitive task over and over again, I just couldn't do it, but I put up with it for 2 months before I quit. As most of you know, I'm in security. Decided to move on to a security company. That one was pretty trash, so I took a good 2-week mental break just to kind of get my shit together, more or less. And now I'm with an amazing security company. Obviously, I can't say which one, but for those friends and family that are listening to this, you know which company I'm talking about. And it's been great. Hopefully, I should be able to start putting out episodes again now that I have the mental capacity to do it. So I've definitely been kind of job hopping since December, but hopefully I can finally settle down now. But you guys aren't really here to listen to me rant about my life. So if you want to send me a personal story, a suggestion, anything, you can hit me on Instagram or Facebook at the Dark Cryptids Podcast. I will respond to either or. However, Instagram might take me a little bit longer since I'm primarily on Facebook. But with that out the way, I do actually want to read a Reddit post I made 2 years ago. And I was kind of waiting for a lazy day to kind of read this one out. I'm kind of surprised I haven't read this one yet on the podcast, but that's what today's for. But yeah, I'll go ahead and read this one. And then after this story, it's going to be mostly me ranting and telling different stories. So if you want to check out after I read this one, that's completely understandable. But here we go. X Death Row Wing. This is my first time really posting on here, so be gentle on me, please. But I work at the prison where Ted Bundy was executed. I can go ahead and say which prison now, because whatever. I used to work at Florida State Prison. That was almost 2 years ago. It is very easy to find which prison, but to cover my ass, I cannot post a specific name of the prison. I was assigned on our death row wing, aka G-Wing, one of the most haunted places in the prison. Correction, X-Death Row Wing. To give some background to working on G-Wing or Golf Wing, Golf Wing used to house death row inmates as they await their executions in the prison. It is set up similarly to other wings in a prison, except a little different. The wing is divided between three floors and six rows of 17 cells each row. We no longer house death row on the wing, and the first floor is the only floor of inmates housed in the cells. These inmates are open population inmates placed on disciplinary confinement. The second floor contains five supermax cells. Third cell down on the right side row actually held Ted Bundy and is a supermax cell. The rest of the cells on the second floor are empty and still even have the TV stands. The third floor is empty as well with regular cells. Our quarterdeck is a small 15 by 20-ish feet on the second floor where we have a desk set up and a few chairs, bathroom and break room with a fridge and microwave. The quarterdeck is where the officers chill out while in between rounds and activities. The staircase that goes to all three floors is directly to the right of the quarterdeck, next to the front door of the wing. The wing is also generally dark, and the emptiness of the wing. Keep in mind, this wing is meant to hold over 100 inmates and only usually holds 30-ish inmates on the first floor. Give the wing a dead silent, foreboding feeling. Now that you understand the way the ex-death row wing is set up, I can go ahead with the stories. When I first started working the prison, I was told by many COs that G-Wing is the easiest wing to work due to you only having to walk the two rows on the first floor, making your rounds quicker and easier. However, the trade-off to that is the wing is fucking creepy, with long dark empty rows, flickering lights, out-of-place noises, footsteps, doors opening on their own. This wing had it all, but everyone picked it because, after all, it's the easiest wing to work. I finally worked G-Wing the first time about a month ago, and still remember the first time I've ever dealt with something just so unexplainable. I entered the wing at around 6-ish p.m. and proceeded to do my first rounds, basically just making sure all the gates are locked, showers, closets, pipe chases, everything. After doing my round and everything was locked, and all my inmates were good, me and the other COs started shooting the shit. Around 9 p.m., the first thing happened that made us all question it, but not really freak out. We had the second floor pipe chase open on the quarterdeck, our smoke spot, and I and another unnamed CO were burning up when we heard loud clangs above us on the third floor catwalk. Keep in mind that the only way for someone to go on a third floor catwalk and a pipe chase would be to have the house keys to unlock that pipe chase, which were on my hip on my key ring. We brushed it off as a rat and kept smoking and continued to shift. I'm unsure of the exact time this happened, but it was after 2 a.m. and before 5 a.m. Me and the other two COs were on a quarterdeck talking, when suddenly we were cut off by a long and loud creaking noise from the third floor. We all agreed that it sounded like the row gate being opened on the third, so we grabbed our flashlights and ran up the stairs, thinking that somehow an inmate from the first floor escaped and made it to the third floor without us noticing. All of which was very improbable, but it was the only logical thing we can come up with. We arrived on the third floor and immediately began checking the row gates, which were locked, and so were all the closets and cell doors, but we know we heard it, all three of us did, and we were certain it was a door or gate swinging open. We went back down to the quarterdeck and quietly talked the rest of the night. My second experience actually happened recently when I was assigned to G-Wing again, and genuinely shook me. We were hanging out on a quarterdeck when I decided to, quote-unquote, fuck with Bundy. I grabbed my flashlight and walked down the side two row with the supermax cells until I came up to the third cell. The lights were already on in all the cells. I looked inside the cell just checking it out and building up my confidence before yelling, "Ted Bundy, you a bitch." Right as the last word left my mouth, the cell light turned off and turned back on, and I felt cold. I quickly ran to the quarterdeck and told the other officers what happened, and I could tell they were trying to figure out whether or not to believe me. Needless to say, I didn't fuck with Bundy anymore on that wing. But those are my two personal stories. But any CO that has worked the wing can tell you a thing or two. Even the inmates that are housed on the wing are terrified and always silent. I remember asking them, "Why are you so quiet?" To which one who has been in G-Wing for a while stated, "Because, sir, the police aren't the only ones we see walking down the row." And he left it at that. Another inmate who used to be on death row and housed in Ted Bundy's old cell was hearing Ted Bundy in the cell along with other voices and tried telling the wing sergeant that he needed to be pulled out. The wing sergeant wouldn't pull him, so this inmate cut up his arms and passed out from blood loss just so he wouldn't be in that specific cell. Other COs and myself also talk about feeling a sense of dread when walking down the empty rows, which I've also felt and seen shadows move from their peripheral view. G-Wing is the easiest wing in a building to work. I would gladly work there again, but it is one creepy-ass place. Hope y'all enjoyed. Yeah, that about wraps up that one. To kind of delve into it a little bit more, G-Wing is definitely... It takes a little bit more than the average person to kind of freak me out. But that ex-death row wing, I don't know what it was about it. It was just, like, really fucking creepy. And I guess it was because, like, the wing was always dark. And like I said, you did hear weird shit. Like, because the first row had inmates and the second and third were, like, you know, no one was in there. Like, if you're sitting on a quarterdeck, for example, which is on the second floor, I remember, like, I'd always glance at the row gates on the second floor, knowing that they're empty. Mostly because you just get that feeling of being watched all the time while you're on that wing. Another thing that kind of happened on that wing a lot that I couldn't really explain is while I would do my checks, your 30-minute security checks, make sure none of inmates are dead, is... I always felt like someone was behind me, like kind of following me down the row. And some other COs I've talked to have like kind of said that they've had that same feeling, which is very strange because other wings I've worked, I've never had that feeling before. But definitely this wing, you get that feeling a lot, like someone's behind you, almost running behind you. And... You feel like you're being watched, even when you're walking down the empty rows to just check the cells out, make sure that everything's all good. That's why, personally, I didn't like going to the third floor by myself, because even though the third floor was completely empty, I wouldn't say no to being by myself on that wing, but I didn't like being anywhere alone on that wing, for sure. And when I did do my check, as funny as this is, when I was checking on the first floor where the inmates were, they actually made me feel a little safer because, yes, they were on disciplinary confinement, but at least there's people around me. I'd rather do checks with the inmates than do a check on an empty row on that wing for sure. But... once again, no other wing like really has that feeling to it, but I mean, it is an ex-death row wing. It has like a lot of death surrounding it. Maybe I know not that many people have died on the wing itself, but you've got to kind of keep in mind that a lot of these people spent their last days on that wing before they went to the death chamber, which is, I want to say, once you leave Golf Wing, it's on Q Wing, the death chamber, and that's only like a 15-20 foot walk away, so it definitely makes sense that a lot of activity was kind of happening there. So, I do kind of have one other story. And this one, I didn't put on Reddit or anything, so it's definitely going to be unscripted. So, this one didn't really affect me personally. I had a security buddy that I used to work with. He was kind of telling me about this. So, we was in a parking lot one night after shift. We're all just kind of bullshitting because we were patrol officers. So, we were just checking out the cars, getting them cleaned out. And we was deciding, like, you know, tell each other creepy shit. This was, like, around Halloween. And he was telling me this one time he pulled up on a property. And while he was on a property, on the second floor, there's an apartment with the light on. You know, no biggie. It's an apartment. You know, people are going to have their fucking lights on. And he saw someone, like, moving around an apartment. Like, you know how you'll see someone's shadow in the window when the light's on and, you know, they're moving around an apartment? He saw that, didn't think anything of it. Well, the resident of that apartment actually pulled up and parked next to him, got out like normal, and then looked up, looked at the security officer, and was like, "Who the fuck's in my apartment?" So security officer's looking at her, asking, "Are you the only one that stays in there?" And obviously she does, otherwise she wouldn't be asking, "Who the fuck is in my apartment?" So I know that they 100% saw this because they went to the point of calling the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. They come out there and they see the person in the window. So they go up to the door, guns drawn, ready to fucking clear out an apartment. They open a door, clear out the apartment, come back down and talk to the security officer and resident, and they looked kind of spooked. So my security officer's like, What happened? Like, he's thinking that they shot someone or something, even though he didn't hear gunshot. And they just look at him and like, "I don't know where they went, but there was no one up there. And we checked everywhere. We checked closets, under the bed, hell, we even checked the vents." So that was one of those things that it kind of makes you shiver a little bit. And I felt really bad for that resident who had to go up there and go to sleep that night. Because if that happened to me personally, yeah, no, I'm not going back in my house until I get that thing exercised, blessed, whatever the hell I need to do. I'll stay at my girlfriend's until that gets taken care of. Let me think if I had any other stories. Oh, I do have one last one. This one happened to me when I was a kid. I was very little. I'm surprised I still remember this so vividly. So, this was back when I lived with my dad and my stepmom. And we just had one pet in the house. His name was Tai Chi. Well, is Tai Chi. He's still alive. And he was a cat. He was a Siamese cat. And at night, he would kind of come into my room, hop on the bed, and he would just, like, curl up where my legs were and just sleep there because back then, my parents kept their door closed, so he couldn't really go in there. Well, I remember, and I was, like, really little, too. This had to happen in elementary school. I remember I was sleeping, and then I woke up to, like, growling. Like, almost like a dog growl. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like fucking 6, 7, maybe 8. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? We only got a fucking cat. Why the fuck am I hearing growling? Well, I feel Tai Chi jump off the bed. And next thing you know, it sounds like a fucking cat and a dog is fighting in my fucking room at the doorway. And I'm just sitting there, the room is pitch fucking black, and I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? So I kind of lean over from my bed, because from my bed you could reach the light switch, it ain't really that hard. I flick on the light and nothing's fucking there. The growling stops. And I was sitting there like, maybe I was just dreaming it. But then I look at my cat, Tai Chi, and his fur is like just standing on fucking end on his neck. So I'm sitting here like, okay, so even if I imagined it, it's very clear that Tai Chi fucking was scared of something and was fighting something, because I know damn well I heard him. And what's crazy is after that incident, nothing ever happened in that house ever again. And it was just one of those things where it didn't really scare me necessarily. It was just more like one of those what the fuck kind of moments. And I still don't understand why it only happened one time and it never happened again. Excuse me. Never happened again. So to this day, I still can't explain that one away. I don't know what the hell happened with that. Honestly, the only other thing I can think of is one of the CEOs did tell me a scary ass story. Well, more like experience they had. Actually, there's two more things that happened at that prison I forgot to mention. Not involving me personally, but stories. Like, you know, the big stories. So one of the big stories is, I forgot the officer's name, but I remember he was telling me that one day he had another buddy who was a CO, same prison, everything, and he was on the Q wing, our max management wing, which also has a death chamber on the first floor, and there's a bathroom down there as well. Now this one does kind of like, every time I talk about it, like, it definitely, like, makes me shake. Like, not shake, but, like, gives me the shivers. Because I'm just imagining, like, if it was me, I'd be freaking the fuck out. So, one day, CO goes down to the bathroom on the first floor because it's a nicer bathroom. And, you know, he gets on the toilet to take a shit, and he goes ahead and lights a cigarette because we would basically smoke in the closets, pipe chases, and bathrooms, because we weren't exactly, you were allowed to go outside for a smoke break, but it took like, it was a good like 5 minute walk to get out of the building, another 5 minute walk to get in the building on top of smoke time. So it was just a lot easier to stay on the wing and do it. Anyway, he lights a cigarette in the bathroom. And he's just sitting there smoking it, having a jolly good time. And he said that whenever he was taking like his last hit on his cigarette and blew it out, a face appeared in front of him. Ugh. Like the smoke kind of formed around on a face that was like right in front of his fucking face. And and I don't blame him for this either. He pulled his pants up, didn't even wipe, and ran the fuck out of that bathroom. And sometimes it does scare me because it's like, I'm kind of glad I never worked that wing, because that would freak the fuck out of me. Because the bathroom, too, was like only 15 fucking feet away from the death chamber. So that definitely makes sense. But the other kind of big story is there's this reoccurring ghost that lots of COs have seen, and the tunnel, we call it the tunnel because, so the way Florida State Prison is set up is the second floor is like the first floor, if that makes sense. So the second floor, yes, it's two stories, but for everyone else it's the first floor. And the technical first floor is like a giant tunnel that runs under the prison. And I think that's like, I forgot why the fuck that tunnel's there, but it's there. It runs throughout the entire length of the prison. And obviously, Perimeter Patrol has to go down there and check the tunnel. Make sure that the grate at the end of the tunnel is locked. And make sure, you know, there's no signs of escape. Well, it's not, like, common. But a lot of the guards that have done perimeter patrol, when they go out down to the tunnel, they will see an inmate down there mopping. And every time they try to go up to an inmate to be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing down here? No one's supposed to be down here. The inmate just disappears. So that's a big ghost story that we have. Well, really ghost experience we have there, because that one is reoccurring. It's not just one CO seeing that guy. Like a few of them have seen that one. And honestly, that kind of turned me away from ever wanting to do perimeter, because I never want to go down to the tunnel. It is pitch fucking black down there, and it's a long fucking tunnel, just pitch fucking black. All you have is a shitty flashlight, because none of the lights down there work. So it's like, the best way to describe it is, you know those sewer openings, and it's like kind of surrounded by concrete, and like it's a sewer opening, and it's usually on a hill or something. And if you like shine your phone flashlight down there, you'll maybe see like 10, 15 feet, because that's just how like black it is. That's the tunnel pretty much, except it goes for like a good almost quarter mile. But I'm so glad I was able to avoid that for the longest time, because I definitely would never want to see some crazy shit like that. Because my golf wing incident was, that's enough for me. I don't want any more than that. Fuck that. Damn, I'm surprised I managed to burn 30 minutes here. I was thinking this was going to be a quick 15-20 minute episode. But I guess that's what happens when you kind of rant a little bit. But it's about 7:35 a.m. in my time. I still haven't gone to sleep yet, and I have work tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and end this episode here. Get some good sleep. Go to work tonight and be a fucking rock star. But I appreciate everyone that stuck around even after my little 2-month hiatus. I appreciate the fuck out of that. And anytime you want to reach out to me, just hit me on Instagram or Facebook at the Dark Cryptids Podcast. But you know what? That's a tradition I forgot I have to do, because it's been so long now. Let's go to the analytics real quick and see the top city. Obviously, the top geographical location is going to be United States of America. And the top city. No shit. Okay, we have a new state and city that's in the top place. So Crawfordville, Florida is our new top city, which is kind of mind-blowing, because I've never heard of Crawfordville. So if you live out in Crawfordville, be sure to give me a fucking message, because I don't know what y'all are doing down there, like giving each other my podcast name or what, but I see you. And we'll go ahead and do the next two cities, because they're in a very close tie. Second one's going to be Los Angeles, California. Before, it was Santa Ana, California that took the top spot in California. So I guess I'm making waves out there in California. Appreciate y'all for listening. And then the last one is Houston, Texas. Hi, Mom. And then, obviously, I got to do the very bottom one. I always like to try to shout out that one listener that's kind of by himself. So we've got Rhode Island, Providence. Whoever's out, actually, it's Rhode Island, Tiverton. So whoever's out there in Rhode Island, Tiverton, thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't be afraid to reach out by any means. I'll go ahead and give you guys some a little bit more geographical stuff. So surprisingly enough, my most listeners are in the age group of 35 to 44, which I'm kind of surprised about that, to be honest, because I'm only 22. I'm surprised you guys even want to listen to me. But I am not complaining by any means. Welcome. Our top gender is going to be female. That makes up 48% of our listeners. Thank y'all for listening. And then listening platform and device, Apple Podcasts blows it out the water. 50% of my listeners listen on Apple Podcasts, and 50% of them listen to iPhone. And surprisingly enough, 3% of y'all listen to me on your fucking smart speakers, and 25% of you listen to on other devices. So I don't know if y'all listening to me on your Samsung fridge or something, but I appreciate it. But all right, everyone, thank you so much again for listening and understanding that I take my little breaks sometimes. I like to check in here and there, let everyone know I'm not dead, I'm still good. But thank you guys for listening, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.